and we will start with roll. Brandy?
Conklin?
I'm present.
Ms. Fleming?
I'm here.
Judge Bannon? Judge Gabe? Oh,
here.
Sorry. Thank you. Conklin, were you going to say something?
Yeah, Judge Fannin sent an email saying she was in a jury trial. She was not at all sure she'd be done by four.
Thank you. Judge Kelly?
Here.
Judge Larsh?
Present.
Judge Ryan?
Here.
Judge Sachs? Judge Seaberth?
Here.
Judge Thompson? Judge Zahner?
Here.
Ms. Bartleson? Mr. Finke?
Here.
Mr. Harrigan?
Here.
Mr. Kim?
Here.
Mr. Landry? Sent an email as well. Mr. Brandy. Riley? Oh,
sorry. Yeah, Brandy, sorry, I didn't hear you, but I assume you said my name.
Yes, I'm thank here. You. Mr. Riley?
Here.
Thank you. Mr. Rule?
Here.
Mr. Taniguchi?
Here.
Mr. Taylor?
Here.
Mr. Yamasaki?
Hello, here.
Thank you. Advisory members of Mr. Wardlaw? Ms. Mueller?
Here.
Thank you. And our liaison member, Judge Callum Carrion.
Here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brandy. Welcome, everybody. We'll move to the routine matters first, and that is I would invite a motion to approve the minutes of the June 21st virtual meeting.
I'll make the motion, Judge Larsh.
Zahner second.
And Judge Zahner seconded. Moved and seconded that the minutes from the June 21st meeting be approved. Any opposition to the approval of those minutes? Hearing no opposition, I deem the minutes unanimously approved. Brandy, did we receive any written public comment for this meeting?
No, nothing was received.
Great. So we'll move right into we're going to adjust the agenda around a little bit, folks, at Brandy and Fran's suggestion, which I think is very effective. After consulting with Rebecca, we agree that we're going to take the Budget Act update first to sort of put everything else in place. And there is Fran. Welcome, Fran. Always good to see you. I'll turn it over to you for an update on the funding provided in the 2022 Budget Act.
Thank you very much, Judge Conklin. Good afternoon, members. It's nice to see everyone. I appreciate the opportunity to join you today and provide a brief update on the enacted 22-23 budget, which went into effect on July 1st. As you know, this is a historic budget for the judicial branch. It provides a total of $1.2 billion in new operational and facility funding, bringing the total budget for the branch to $5.6 billion. The new investments support longstanding priorities of the Chief Justice and the Judicial Council to expand access to justice. The details of the budget were described in the June 28th memo distributed to the branch and posted to our public website, and they were also covered in the remarks by the Chief Justice and Administrator Martin at the July 15 Judicial Council meeting. Therefore, I will just mention a few notable highlights of new money for the trial courts. So the budget includes $100 million for fiscal equity, $84 million for consumer price index adjustment for trial court operational costs, funding for 23 judgeships, as well as backfill funding related to reductions in fine and fee revenues. With this additional funding, the trial court's statewide average funding level will exceed 92% of the estimated workload need for the first time, and no court is funded below 90.7%. This is a significant growth in funding since 2012-13, when trial courts were funded at 55% of workload need. The budget also establishes an annual report from the Judicial Council to the legislature that includes various trial court metrics, This data reporting will provide transparency in how funding is used to support court operations, serve the public, and increase access to justice. Through the work of this committee and in partnership with the Judicial Branch Budget Committee, the Judicial Council approved recommendations for the major 22-23 funding allocations to the trial courts at its meeting this past Friday. The allocations total more than $2.9 billion and include the aforementioned trial court funding. The allocation recommendation for backfill funding related to the repeal of fees authorized by AB 177 is on today's agenda for your consideration. A proposal that's still under development is the CARE Act. While the budget does include funding for implementation of the governor's plan to establish a new system in California to compel care plans for people dealing with untreated mental illness, the policy bill for the CARE Act, SB 1338, continues to move through the legislative process. The CARE Act is expected to be passed during this legislative session and ultimately signed by the governor. However, there is language in the budget that prevents spending the funding for the trial courts to implement the CARE Act until a bill is passed that puts the statutory framework for the program in place. At that time, this issue would be brought to the Funding Methodology Subcommittee and TICAC to develop an allocation methodology recommendation for this funding. On Friday, the Judicial Council also approved a package of budget change proposals to be submitted to the Department of Finance for consideration in the 22-23 governor's budget. These proposals reflect branch values, would fund greater access to justice, and help vulnerable populations. Included in this package is a proposal for an annual automatic inflationary adjustment for trial courts, which was submitted by this committee. Development of these budget change proposals is underway, and they will be submitted to the Department of Finance in early September. On behalf of the Budget Services team, I want to close by thanking this committee for its hard work and service to the branch, and for your contributions to the unprecedented 22-23 budget. Budget update, and we're happy to address any questions that you may have.
Fran. Thank you so much. Any questions for Fran about that update? So I know Judge Zahner was at the council meeting, Rebecca was at the council meeting, David was at the council meeting, and it was, just to add a brief comment, the chief was obviously very appreciative of our work, and one of the things she displayed, for those of you that have been around for a while, was what she called, I think she referred to as the hot map, and then the green map. And so just looking back, remember we had those maps that years ago showed those courts that were underfunded and grossly underfunded in red, and then working through shades of orange and yellow. And I think there were two courts in the state that were green, and those were the most northern courts. The map now is absolutely green. There is not a single court in the state that is substantially underfunded or actually underfunded. I know dollars are still a challenge. I know still the money we have is needed and spent well, but I wish I would have thought to put up that graphic, because it's pretty amazing to see the court in a matter of, what is it, Fran, 5 years or 7 years, go from what it was to green now.
About a decade, Judge Conklin, but there was a little, a recession in there. So from 2012-13, yep. 22-23, as Judge Conklin describes, that's been throughout the state.
And it's reflective of obviously the work of Martin and staff and the chief, but also I tried to point out to the chief, and she seemed to, she did agree that it's reflective of the work of this committee too. So thank you all very much for that. And Fran, thanks very much for the update. It's appreciated. We now move to our first action item, which is AB 177. It was briefly referred to. It's once again a task of this committee to develop an allocation methodology. In this case, we're gonna hear from Oksana talk, and it's to discuss the consideration of the funding methodology and the development of an allocation methodology for the trial court backfill funding related to repeal of fees. And rather than confuse you with the way I would explain it, I'm just going to turn to Oksana and ask her to explain what it means when we talk about repealing the fees and then backfilling those fees and then allocating those fees once they're backfilled. Oksana?
Thank you, Judge Conklin. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Oksana Tak, Senior Analyst with Budget Services. This report is to assist the committee in its discussion on the Funding Methodology Subcommittee, or FMS, recommendation on an allocation methodology for trial court backfill funding related to the repeal of fees authorized by Assembly Bill AB 177 to be considered by the Judicial Branch Budget Committee at its July 27, 2022 meeting. Effective January 1st, 2022, AB 177 repealed trial court authority to collect certain administrative fees that were for the recovery of costs associated with various administrative activities performed at the court, making any unpaid balance unenforceable and uncollectible, and requiring any portion of a judgment imposing the fee to be vacated. Judicial Council Budget Services staff surveyed trial courts in February and March 2022 on total fees charged by the trial courts for activities for the eliminated code sections from 2018-19 through 2020-21. Reported revenue only included the amount retained by the court for its administrative costs and excluded fees or revenue collected by the court and passed on the county, or fees retained by the court for the collection of any county fees. Budget Services staff, in consultation with the Department of Finance, adopted a methodology recommendation using the average of 2018-19 and 2019-20 revenue collections, as outlined in Table 1 on page 6 of the materials. Due to the impact of COVID-19 on trial court operations, the revenue collected in 2020-21 were excluded as they were atypical compared to revenue collections during the prior to pre-pandemic fiscal years. The proposed allocation methodology is outlined in Attachment 1A on page 7, which represents FMS recommendation to approve a two-year average breakdown by court for revenue collected in 2018-19 and 2019-20, and then proportionally allocate the remaining funding resulting in an annual backfill appropriation, an allocation amount of $10.3 million. That concludes our presentation, and we will turn it back to Judge Conklin to guide the discussion, and we're very happy to answer any questions you may have.
Judge Conklin, I think you're on mute.
Thank you.
I am, which is probably the most effective I've been all day. Anyways, I thanked Oksana for a very precise presentation, and then I was reminded I was on mute. The recommendation is in your materials, and I'm just reading what Oksana just told us about too, but it's to take that two-year average revenue collection methodology for the $10.3 million backfill for the trial courts for consideration by the Judicial Council effective September 20th, 2022. So it's a pretty simple, though effective, calculation, but it's now to us for discussion. Any discussions or questions of Oksana or anybody else concerning this allocation methodology using the two-year averaging?
I don't have any questions, Judge Conklin, but if I could make a comment.
You can, of course.
So, you know, the information that Fran shared just a moment ago, and also the chief and all of the remarks that were provided about this budget for this budget year have all been wonderful news for us. And I think it's really a reflection of the advocacy efforts that we've seen. This particular item helps us get back to being whole, because we obviously lost the ability to recoup some of the fees that were helping us provide the service. The service is still there, but of course, the availability of this backfill is helping us get back to normal. And I, while we still have a little bit of distance to travel in that area, I think you know, having this available to us is very significant. And I, at the appropriate time, would be happy to move approval of the recommendation that's been provided.
I appreciate that, David. So I'll consider that as a motion. It doesn't preclude further discussion, especially upon a second, but if there is a second, I'll consider that as well.
This is Judge Ryan, I'll second it.
All right. Mr. Yamasaki moved, and I saw Judge Kelly trying as well, so Judge Kelly, you get effort credits, but I'll accept.
I'll split it.
So moved and seconded that the recommendation set forth for the two-year averaging for those fees and fines be approved and forwarded to JBBC for consideration by the council. Any further discussion? John, thank you. And John Wardlaw, you just clicked in, joined us. John, I think it's significant that this was also with the consultation of the Department of Finance, but anything you wanted to add here, John?
No, thank you, Judge Conklin, and my apologies for coming in a little late. No further comment from what Fran had provided.
Great, thank you. So it's been moved and seconded that the recommendation be approved. Any further discussion? Hearing no further discussion, is there any opposition to the motion that the recommendation for this item one, be approved by the committee? Hearing no opposition, as the chair, along with our vice chair, Rebecca, will deem the motion unanimously approved. Thank you. Oksana, as always, thanks so much. And now moving to item two, this is the annual FMS Funding Methodology Subcommittee Work Plan update. And Michelle is going to present on this. Here, once again, we're considering the recommended updates from FMS on its annual work plan. Michelle.
Good afternoon. The Funding Methodology Subcommittee, or FMS, made updates to its annual work plan, which directs the subcommittee's efforts in developing and refining the workload formula, as well as other methodologies for trial court budget advisory committee consideration, and then consideration by the Judicial Branch Budget Committee. The recommendations include moving two existing work plan items to the 2022-23 fiscal year. The first is a review of judicial counsel provided services versus those provided by trial courts, in which judicial counsel staff will begin researching internally and bring that information back to the FMS for further analysis in determining if any recommended changes are warranted. The second item is court interpreter program funding, which was pushed out while the ad hoc interpreter subcommittee continues to develop a workload-based allocation methodology for 2023-24. Next, item three was separated into two parts and moved to 2022-23. First, separating the reevaluation of the cluster system would provide time for the new Data Analytics Advisory Committee, which is assuming the work of the prior Workload Assessment Advisory Committee, to be established and allow time to consider the impact of new judgeship funding provided in the 2022 budget on courts cluster placement. Then, separating the review of the base funding floor process would provide time for options to be developed and for the FMS to consider providing these eligible courts with inflationary increases similar to all other courts. Item four, tracking the work of the Family and Juvenile Law Advisory Committee on the implementation of an allocation methodology for the AB 1058 Child Support Family Law Facilitator Program was removed, as this has been completed. Lastly, a new item was added for 2022-23 to evaluate the Workload Formula Adjustment Request Process, or ARP, that was submitted in January of 2022 in alignment with the ARP policy. We are happy to answer any questions as the committee considers the recommendations that begin on page 9 of the material.
Michelle, thank you so much. Any questions for Michelle? The FMS is chaired, has been chaired for quite a while by Rebecca Fleming, and it was Judge Buckley. He, as you know, is retired, and so I've stepped in the interim. We may be discussing chair options there, but right now Rebecca and I chair that committee, though Rebecca does all the work. But with that, any questions or thoughts about the FMS work plan and the update from Michelle? Rebecca, anything you wanted to add on it?
No, thank you, Judge Conklin. Michelle covered it.
All right, hearing no discussion, is there a motion to approve the work plan as proposed?
This is Judge Gabe. I can make the motion.
Thank you, Judge Gabe. Judge Gabe has moved that the FMS work plan as proposed be approved. A second?
Very good. A second.
Who was that? I'm sorry.
Harrigan.
Oh, thank you, Kevin. Appreciate it. Moved and seconded. Any further discussion on the work plan? Is there any opposition to the motion to approve the work plan? Hearing none, I deem the FMS work plan unanimously approved. Michelle, thanks so much.
You're
and
welcome.
Oksana, we're back to you for item number 3, which is the discussion of the updates needed for the 2022-2023 allocation summary. This is the display that was developed years ago, is used in many efforts, including efforts to explain funding for the branch and to obtain funding for the branch. I'll turn to Oksana to explain how the display, we're updating it. We didn't update it during COVID, but we're now moving to update it. Oksana?
Thank you, Judge Conklin. Good afternoon again. This is Oksana Tak, Senior Analyst with Budget Services. This report is to assist the committee in its discussion on the updates needed for the single court executive summary display of trial court allocations, including the workload formula and other funding highlights for 2022-23. In May 2018, the committee first approved a single court executive summary display for each court that included current allocation highlights, comparison to prior year, and relative statewide perspectives for references. The allocation information is updated each fiscal year based on funding changes included in the final budget and council approved allocations. The executive summary was not produced for 2021 due to the impact of COVID-19 pandemic on trial court funding. The process was reinitiated in 2021-22 and shared as an informational item to the committee at its August 2021 meeting. For the 2022-23 updated executive summary, the committee is asked to identify what information should be included or excluded from the display. To assist with the discussion, highlights of funding received in 2021-22 that was not included in last year's summary, as well as new funding included in the 2022 Budget Act and approved by the Council, outlined on page 14 of the meeting materials. The summary documents are preliminary until all allocations are approved by the Council. The TIGBAC allocation recommendation for the AB 177 allocation methodology that was included in today's agenda item 1 will be considered by Judicial Branch Budget Committee later this month and then by Judicial Council at its September 20, 2022 business meeting. For illustrative purposes, 3 examples of the executive summary are provided on pages 15 through 17 of the materials, representing different sized courts. Once the committee identifies updated information to include and or exclude for the executive summary displays, the summary document will be shared with the Judicial Branch Budget Committee as an informational item and then distributed to all 58 courts no later than October 2022. That concludes our presentation, and we're happy to answer any questions.
Oksana, thank you very much. So folks, I think we need at least to update these displays, and I'd open it up for suggestions or discussions about the most effective way to do that.
This is Judge Hubert. I have a quick question. I'm looking at these three, and I try to see what's the difference between the three. I mean, obviously they're different size courts, but is there different information, or it looks the same to me? And I don't know if I was missing something. That were these supposed to be three different ways to display it, or is it just three different?
It's the same
display, but just three different size courts.
Exactly. So it's a smaller court, medium size court, and a large court. But the same, exactly same information on each of them.
All right, thank you.
So what thoughts on how we can effectively update these as far as information that no longer needs to be included and new information to include? I think obviously we want to highlight where we are now as far as funding levels. Budget's been approved, but I don't know if you folks want to think about working line by line on this or if it's just a more general. Rebecca, I don't know if you have any thoughts either about just updating the display.
I don't. I guess one question I have probably for John is, has the display been more effective with the consistency of the data provided? It used to be once upon a time there was a lot more unique facts that were provided by court, and I'm assuming that the consistency has benefited the advocacy efforts, and so therefore, should we or should we not include individual facts?
Thank you, Rebecca. And we have entered kind of a new phase with the legislature. As you know, they are very interested in beginning balance on a per court basis, the year-end balances, how much additional funds courts have, hours of operation, time to disposition. They're just, with this budget, they are seeking a lot of information. We have a report due February 1st to the legislature that will describe in great detail on a per court basis. So I know they are looking for detailed information, and I think the more granular we can be, the better as conversations continue on the advocacy side. Rebecca, I'm not sure if that addresses your question. If not, please let me know.
I think it heads down the path of consistency from one court to another. And I guess what I'm just wondering is, for instance, if court A has a particular outcome and court B has a different outcome, whether or not there's a desire to hear about the differences and why that might be, or if we really just want to show kind of an overall movement of the needle.
Yeah, I think that my recommendation would be kind of at the higher level, the broader what we're seeing, that picture is probably where the legislature will, what we should show, and then should there be additional requests for, why there is a difference from court A to court B to court C, that we'd be prepared to respond to that. But I don't know that I would assume that the report necessarily has to detail out all the differences between the courts.
Thank you.
So obviously the presentation here is a 21-22 allocation summary. So we need to move forward to the next budget, which is the 22-23 allocation summary. So what do you folks think about the most effective step? I mean, one is refer it back to staff for their recommended actual updates within it, with John's sort of advice and expertise about what he thinks people are going to want to see. And with those recommended updates, then come back to this committee as soon as possible. You need it by February at the latest, right, John?
Yeah, well, we'll need it in advance of that, and I'll have to defer staff on the timing. The report is due to the legislature February 1st, as outlined, as far as the provisional language that was included tied to the budget. Fran?
Thank you, John. I can offer for clarification too. This document, which is sort of a one-page document per court, this is intended to really be a display of funding received by the court in the budget, and allows the individual court as compared to the statewide perspective. So it's really a snapshot of funding in the budget. John, what you were describing is what is included in the budget. There is language where the legislature is very interested in performance reporting metrics from the courts, and John described some of those, kind of case disposition or completion, case clearance rates, backlogs by case types, hours of operation. Those are more specific data points, and we are required to compile an annual report to the legislature for that data information that's due February 1st of each year. So you can basically view the two issues as somewhat separate but complementary. This is a funding display. The other is data reporting metrics.
So Fran, any thoughts, or John, on what is a funding display, what we should focus on updating, besides making it consistent with, oh, Judge Siebert, I'm sorry, you had your hand up. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I was just wondering, I mean, who's the target audience for this particular summary? Is it the court executives? Is it the presiding judges? Is it, who's supposed to be looking at this and gleaning the data from it? That, I think that affects what information should be included in it, and I'm not sure I understand that. And the second point is, one of the things that we talk a lot about in prior meetings is, how does a particular court's percentage funding compared to the statewide average and so forth. And I don't see that on here. And I'm not sure, again, depending on what the target audience is, that could be relevant to a particular court.
Fran.
Thank you. So that there are a couple of different audiences that use it. Primarily, it was a tool for the courts, so the courts could quickly have a snapshot of their funding for the fiscal year. During conversations or discussions with stakeholders. It's also used as part of labor negotiations as well, too, to kind of see where each court is in terms of their allocated funding. John, I think there was a point in time, too, where could individual advocacy was someone interested in a particular court and a particular multitude of audiences and different uses document.
Thank you, Fran. You're kind of coming in and out on my side, and I hope that everyone can hear me. But yeah, and I don't mean to conflate the two. There's a legislative report required February 1st that's very detailed. And in my opening, I went in that direction just because there is greater and greater interest in understanding the branches by court spending and how much funding is at each court. So that there's that piece. Then there's this item, which really, I would not necessarily make any recommendations as far as change. It is a display that is used by various parties, including the legislature, should they have the desire to see this information. But this is at a much higher level. And as Fran points out, is used by different audiences, and primarily the trial courts. And so I don't have any particular recommendations as far as change that needs to be made on the display of this fairly high level information.
And is David, did you have your hand up?
Okay. Oh. I did, but at the appropriate time, I can kind of chime in.
No, I'll defer to David. I didn't have my hand up. It's totally fine. Go ahead.
Yeah, so if I'm remembering correctly, and I heard it mentioned a few times before, it's a budget snapshot. This document had traditionally been used in our advocacy efforts to demonstrate where courts were. And I think, as John mentioned, you know, focusing on this document to be kind of a high-level reference document as a picture could be painted in what's going on fiscally at the different courts. I don't know that if the purpose is really to demonstrate financially what's happening at each court, I think this pretty much does it. We'll have to probably change some of the topics, like the $60 million COVID-driven backlog. Maybe that description is changed. Some of the other areas probably will have to be redefined. But I think really just to give it a point of reference for courts to report on what funding they've received, I think this is probably it. What I'm more interested in at this point is the reporting requirements that we have coming up in the beginning of the new year. That is going to actually be something that we're going to have to spend quite a bit of time on defining, because some of that information is going to be very, very difficult to assemble. And I agree, February is a bit of a distance out, but what isn't is the amount of work that's going to be necessary to assemble that information. So I think that we should probably approach this in two different ways. Obviously, getting the snapshot together to describe what the allocations have been to all of the different courts. But we're also going to have to very quickly get together and identify what it is that we are going to have to report in accordance with the requirements that have been set down. Originally, when we had talked about it, it was going to be focused on those courts that are going to be receiving some of the equity funding. And the language has changed pretty significantly to be a requirement that all courts, as I read it, are going to have to report. So this seems to be, you know, fairly well assembled, maybe some refinements and topics based on what was included in the Budget Act. But then also, we're going to, my recommendation is to convene very quickly on that second piece, which is really going to be some very specific detail that may be difficult to assemble in a uniform way, because we should be consistent in our reporting of that. So I'm with John. High level seems to be pretty solid in terms of putting together a template. Maybe I think Fran even mentioned including some of the terminology that maybe has changed what the audience may be interested in looking at in the legislature. But then very quickly moving in the other area of the reporting requirement and getting down into the specifics, because I'm very curious to know some of the details of what we're going to have to report. And what I don't want us to do, if we can avoid it, is not duplicate efforts. As we report a lot of information, the less that we duplicate, obviously, is going to be easier. But we need to get down into the details of what that's going to be involving, because it's going to be pretty important, because it's a reporting requirement. So I would encourage us to not lose sight of the importance of getting started on that effort.
Other thoughts or suggestions? So I agree, we can't hesitate on this one, but I think we also need to take the time necessary to make it effective. Judge Siebert, your other question was, as I understood it, yes, this each court gets its own snapshot. So this will be specific to each court, and the court will get those numbers. Rebecca, did you have your hand up, or are you just adjusting?
I was adjusting, but adjusting to put my hand up. So so I would just like to echo David's thoughts, and I would suggest that perhaps we ask staff to update the existing format with this year's budget information and bring it back to us as a draft, and then perhaps
propose a draft of a format that would also meet the need for the February reporting requirement as a starting point for a conversation, with the detail that David was referring to. And so I don't know if you need a motion for that or if it's time for that, but I would be willing to make that motion if you do.
Okay, can you, and I think that's appropriate as well. So I'm gonna let you make the motion, but as I understand it, we're gonna refer this back to staff. We're gonna have staff update it to be particular to and accurate with the current budget information, and then come back to this committee for further modification using the details suggested by David and Rebecca. So Rebecca, can you say it in a more precise motion than I just said?
So I'm proposing that staff bring back two documents, one being the existing format with the updated 22-23 budget detail, and the second, a proposed document that would meet the needs for the required reporting for the February 1st deadline.
Any second on that? David, you're muted. Did you just second that?
Yes, I seconded that motion.
All right. So moved and seconded. And again, Brandy, you think we could hope to have that back by our next meeting? Is that too optimistic? When is our next meeting?
So our next meeting isn't until November. We'd like to get this sheet out around October. Do you want them both to come back at one time, or are you okay if we start with the kind of budget highlight and then follow with the reporting requirements?
Rebecca,
my thought would be that they would. My thought was that they would come back at the same time, and that we would basically finalize the first one and start the discussion on the second one based on the starting point that you provide.
But November is probably too long.
I'd like to share with the group too that our Office of Court Research will be very involved in the data elements for the legislative report that's due in February as well.
I expect that Rob O'Young and the Office of Court Research, they're looking right now at what data we have available now and what additional data sets will be required. And there will be communications going out. I would hope that at the August statewide meeting, there'll be an opportunity for a conversation with the courts about what the statutory requirements reporting is. We can start to have that dialogue. And then certainly by September timeframe, we will need to be communicating with the courts on what information will be necessary. So I think November is a bit too late, that we really need to be moving at a quicker pace, and that by August we should be at the table with our friends in the Office of Court Research, talking with the courts about what the requirements are and getting this the data sets prepped up. Long way of saying, I think in August, we'll be at the table with the courts talking about this issue in much greater detail and lining up. And so we can certainly, Rebecca, on the top line document that you have in your agenda now, Budget Services can update that, no problem, in relatively short order by the August timeframe. Have communications through the Office of Court Research with the courts on what additional data requirements are going to be needed for meeting the statutory deadline by February 1st.
Right. So I'm just trying to keep us
on
track. Pardon me?
That's my motion with those timeframes, what John said.
And David, you second that?
Thank you.
Okay. So I just want to be precise and keep us on track. So would that therefore anticipate an interim meeting before November, for instance, in September, to finalize this?
I hope so.
Okay. But we'd have to wait until, John, you're right, until that August meeting before we can move forward.
Judge Conklin, I think by September, we will certainly be in a good position to communicate to this committee on what additional steps the committee will need to take to make sure we meet the statutory timeline of February 1st. So if you were to call a September meeting, we will be prepared for a set of recommendations for your consideration.
Okay, so folks, be prepared for a doodle poll to come out rather soon about a September meeting for that purpose. So I don't want to ask anybody to commit today because obviously you all have different calendars, but it's been moved and seconded that those two essentially pieces of information proceed through budget services and that we then have a meeting in September to finalize these two presentations. And what we'll do is as soon as I'll work with Brandy and with Fran and others about suggested dates in September for that very precise meeting, we'll do our best to make it over a lunch hour. So with that, it's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion on the motion? And Brandy, do you need any further detail on the motion?
I am good, thank you.
Yeah, and I would just add, Judge Conklin, we need to identify what it is that we're gonna have to be reporting. What is it? And then we have to collect it. It has to be meaningful from the beginning of the fiscal year and months into it. So we need to be able to go back basically and get the information I think is sought. And so the sooner that we can identify what those items are, obviously the easier it is gonna be for everybody to start collecting it and preparing it for the reporting requirement. So I think the timing is really, it may be tight, but it is something that we're gonna have to do quite honestly.
We step need, one, we need identify, to step two, so. Collect.
Right.
Okay. Any further discussion? Any opposition to the motion is seconded? Okay, I'm gonna deem the motion unanimously approved. Concerning item number three, we'll be in touch, folks, with specific timing, but you can expect now, to your delight, an interim meeting in September to finalize this, but it'll be relatively brief. It should be limited to this one item, unless anything else comes on our plate in the meantime. So that takes us through our last action item, item number three. Brandy, I think we've covered everything.
We did, thank you.
And again, my thanks to all of you. I tried to express that thanks at the council meeting last week. And candidly, I let the chief know that I think while every chair feels this way, Rebecca and I think we've got the hardest working, most effective advisory committee out there. But they all are. But anyways, your work reflects that and we do appreciate all the work you do, John, Brandy, Fran, and budget services as well. So with that, stay healthy, be in touch, and go Dodgers. All right. Thanks everybody. Always good to see and hear from everybody. Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye.